1956, and Egypt has just nationalised the Suez Canal. The canal had previously been owned by the Suez Canal Company, which was controlled mostly by France and Britain. The seizure was ordered by the Egyptian president, Gamal Abdel Nasser, who wanted to use the proceeds from the tolls the canal generated for infrastructure projects in Egypt. So Egypt was a non-aligned country during the Cold War, and Nasser wished to maintain good relations with both the USA and the USSR. Nasser's only real aim was to maintain the independence of the Arab world and to prevent any imperial powers, old or new, from dominating it again. America was unhappy with Nasser's lack of hostility to the Soviet Union and so, along with Britain, withdrew previously promised financial assistance to Egypt. As a result, Nasser declared his intention to nationalise the Suez Canal to make up for the lost cash. The French and British governments were furious and saw the nationalisation as an attack on their influence in the region. So Israel, led by Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion, was also upset with the nationalisation since Nasser immediately banned all Israeli shipping from the canal. Soon after, the French, under Prime Minister Guy Mollet, invited the British, led by Prime Minister Anthony Eden, and the Israelis to bring the situation under control. The plan was for Israel to capture the Sinai Peninsula and that Britain and France would then capture the Suez Canal under the pretext of restoring order to the region. On October the 29th, Israeli forces invaded the peninsula and the next day Britain and France delivered an ultimatum to both Egypt and Israel. Both sides were ordered to withdraw 10 miles from the Suez Canal or they would intervene. One problem, Israel's troops were still 40 miles from the canal. This gave Britain and France's part in the plan away and both were met with international condemnation, specifically from the Americans, who were furious that they hadn't been consulted by their allies. On November the 5th, British and French paratroopers were dropped into the area around the canal to secure it. So the Egyptian army wasn't really prepared to resist the well-armed and well-trained militaries of the three nations attacking them, and they were quickly overrun. However, the population of Egypt rallied around Nasser, and many civilians took to resisting the invaders either passively or even taking up arms themselves. The military side of the conflict was over quickly, with Israel, France and the UK achieving their objectives. Politically though, it was a nightmare for them. Most nations across the world sided with Egypt, and the USSR even threatened to use nuclear weapons against Britain and France. Dwight D. Eisenhower, the US president, was absolutely livid with the British and French and even went so far as to threaten to kick them both out of NATO. Furthermore, Eisenhower threatened to sell off sterling bonds, which would have severely harmed the value of the pound, which in turn would have likely crashed the British economy. As a result, Britain immediately ceased hostilities, and France and Israel soon after signed a ceasefire. British and French forces left Egypt in late November, and Israel didn't withdraw from the Sinai Peninsula until March of the next year. The Suez Crisis was over. For Britain, the Suez Crisis was a disaster and demonstrated that it could no longer pursue its own foreign policy without the consent of the United States. The crisis would also end the career of Anthony Eden. For France, the effects were similar and Mollet wouldn't last much longer than Eden. For Israel, the war was much more profitable. Israel's capabilities were now demonstrated to its neighbours, and whilst Israel still couldn't use the Suez Canal, it could now use the Strait of Tehran, which Egypt had previously blockaded since 1950. The crisis also saw the expansion of the UN's duties and importance in international diplomacy. The crisis saw the UN send an international force of peacekeepers, the first of its kind, to the region to calm and monitor the situation. As for Egypt, and more specifically Nasser, the crisis was an unparalleled victory. Nasser was now seen as the Arab world's defender against colonial aggressors, and his popularity soared. This in turn would see him become the face of the Pan-Arabist movement, which would briefly see the unification of Egypt with Syria. But that's a story for a different time. I hope you enjoyed this episode and thank you for watching, and a special thanks to James Bizanet, Azarka Flash, Henry Rabin, Winston Kaywood, Adam Harvey and Skye Chappelle.